Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Let's get right to the docket. First, an arrest has been made in the Ahmed Arbery case, an analysis of why it took so long, the Georgia citizens arrest statute and why it's not going to apply, and the DA who did the initial investigation recused himself, probably because he couldn't justify it with a straight face. Second, a Megan Boswell case update. Third, don't couples just break up anymore? Fourth, doesn't anyone date anymore? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, along with our weekly recap where you pick the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Let's get right to the docket today. First, arrests have been made in the Ahmed Arbery case. Now, as most of the world learned about this case yesterday after a video went viral and Gregory McMichael, 64, and his son Travis McMichael, 34, are shown in this video where they drive up to Ahmed Arbery, who is running. He is jogging for health, relaxation, not running from a crime, not doing anything wrong. Well, Michael and Travis believed that Ahmed was possibly a suspect in a burglary or a theft that had taken place weeks, if not months before. The father-son duo had been locked up with a count of murder and aggravated assault. Travis is being charged as the primary aggressor, while Michael is considered a party to the crime. A third potential suspect who may have blocked Ahmed from running away and was actually videotaping what took place has not been charged or arrested, but that may be forthcoming. So let's break this case down. Now, I received a lot of comments yesterday after our video discussing the Ahmed Arbery matter. Now, most people, I think, were rather shocked by what took place and the fact that this was actually captured on video. Some people were somewhat flippant that said, well, he had a criminal history. Why would he not stop? Why would he engage in anything, and therefore he deserves to be shot? Unbelievable. Other people were saying that, well, under the Georgia statute that allows for citizens arrest, these guys were okay. People were saying that Gregory McMichael, the father, was a retired police officer and investigator with the district attorney's office down there. So he knew what he was doing and that, you know, everything here was justified and on the up and up. Now, if I had to defend one of these individuals, I would do so. But I don't have to in this particular case. So let's take a look at the facts. And I think as a member of the community, most people would be shocked by the events that took place. I think that most people would be shocked by the analysis of the district attorney who basically cleared this matter for the McMichaels. And the reason why he recused was simply for the fact that he knew under public scrutiny, his analysis and his conclusions would not hold water. So let's talk about it. Ahmed Arbery was 25 years old. Now, he had attended the Brunswick High School, where he played football and graduated in 2012. In 2012, he was arrested for bringing a handgun to a school gymnasium, and then he fled police officers. He was ultimately convicted of carrying a weapon on campus and obstruction of a law enforcement officer. He was sentenced to 5 years probation. That probationary sentence was revoked in 2017 when Ahmed was convicted of shoplifting from a Walmart. Arbery was also attending the South Georgia Technical College and was working on becoming an electrician. Now, Gregory McMichael, he's 64, and he had spent two decades working as an investigator with the Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Attorney's Office until May of 2019. We don't know much about Travis McMichael yet, other than he's 34 and that he is Gregory McMichael's son. Now, the McMichaels claimed that they thought that Ahmed was somehow involved in burglaries that had taken place in the Satilla Shores neighborhood. Now, two burglaries had occurred in the Satilla Shores neighborhood in 2020 before this shooting took place. Only one of the burglaries was reported to the Glynn County Police between January 1st and February 23rd of 2020. The theft was a pistol from the pickup truck outside Travis McMichael's house on January 1st, 53 days before the killing of Ahmed. Remember that number, 53 days. That's going to be significant. It turns out his father, Gregory McMichael, had not locked the truck in the morning, and an hour later, Travis discovered that a Smith & Wesson 9mm had been stolen. The other burglary was some 30 days prior, and $2,500 of fishing equipment had been stolen from an unsecured property that was still under construction, but the owner had not even contacted the police. In the 4 months prior to Arbery's death, there had been a total of three calls to the Glynn County Police Department reporting a trespasser at a site of a house under construction. Now, there were two 911 calls made before Arbery's death. Neither call alleges a crime committed by Arbery. So just like I said, remember the 53 days, also remember that no one witnessed a crime taking place by Ahmed Arbery. In the first call to 911, a male caller said another man was in that house that was under construction. The 911 dispatcher asked if the man was breaking into it now. The caller replied, "No, it's all open." After the caller said the man was now running down the street, the dispatcher said police would respond. So we know the police were on their way. The dispatcher then asked at 1:08 p.m., "I just need to know, what was he doing wrong? Was he just on the premises and not supposed to be there?" The caller replies in some sort of a garbled manner, "And he's been caught on camera a bunch at night. It's kind of an ongoing thing." The caller identified the man as a black guy in a white t-shirt. In a second call to 911, which begins at 1:14 p.m., a male caller said, "I'm out here at Satilla Shores. There's a black male running down the street." The 911 dispatcher asked, "Where at Satilla Shores?" The caller replied, "I don't know what street we're on." The caller was then heard shouting, "Stop, watch that, stop, damn it, stop." The dispatcher tried to speak to the caller but did not receive a reply for several minutes. The caller then hung up. As we have shown you and most of the world has seen, there's a 36-second cell phone video of this incident that was apparently filmed by William Bryan, and it shows Arbery running down a curved road followed by Bryan's vehicle. As they come around the curve, Arbery encounters a white pickup truck that has overtaken him and stops him in his path. Bryan slows down before coming to a complete stop behind Arbery and the pickup truck. Initially, Arbery is running on the left side of the road. The two men are in the truck. Gregory McMichael is on the truck bed. While Travis McMichael steps out of the driver's side armed with a shotgun, Travis initially stands beside the driver's side door. As Arbery approached the pickup truck, he crossed the road to run along the passenger side of the truck, past its front, and then turn left. Meanwhile, Travis approached Arbery at the truck's front. A gunshot is heard before Arbery started to struggle with Travis in the front of the truck. Some of the struggle takes place off the left side of the camera frame. There is also audio of a second shot, and then Arbery appears to throw punches and tries to grab the shotgun. A third shot is recorded being fired by Travis at point-blank range. Now, Arbery steps away from the fight, then collapses face down on the road, while Travis walks away. Gregory McMichael, who has taken out a handgun but not fired, then runs towards the other two men. No arrests were made from February 20th until May 7th of 2020. Now, two local prosecutors recused themselves from the case due to Gregory McMichael's connections to their office. The second district attorney to handle this case was George Barnhill. And he wrote a memo about the case before recusing himself in April of 2020. The recusal came after Arbery's mother argued that Barnhill had a conflict of interest because Barnhill's son, like Gregory McMichael, previously worked for the Brunswick District Attorney. Now, Barnhill wrote that McMichaels were in their right to chase, quote, a burglary suspect, end quote. Barnhill claimed that Arbery initiated the fight and that Travis McMichael was allowed to use deadly force to protect himself when Arbery grabbed the shotgun. Barnhill wrote that Arbery had mental health issues and past prior convictions, which helped explain his apparent aggressive nature and his possible thought pattern to attack an armed man. Barnhill argued that Arbery might have caused the shotgun to fire by struggling over it, and he recommended that no arrest be made. Obviously, District Attorney George Barnhill had not reviewed the video, which clearly shows that Mr. Travis McMichael was the one who approached a man running along the side of the road. So the District Attorney Barnhill basically was saying that the McMichaels were completely justified and that basically Mr. Arbery basically deserved what he had coming because obviously he was the initial aggressor. Well, let's take a look at the criminal code as it relates for a citizen arrest by a private person. And that would be found at the Georgia Code at 17-4-60. It says, a private person may arrest an offender if the offense is committed in his presence or with his immediate knowledge. If the offense is a felony and the offender is escaping or attempting to escape, a private person may arrest him upon reasonable and probable grounds of suspicion. Now, what do we know? Why is that important? When the 911 calls came in, this individual was running away. No one had witnessed Mr. Arbery doing anything criminal in nature. Additionally, we know that neither one of the McMichaels would have seen this individual committing any crime, which is a prerequisite for anybody to actually claim under the Georgia Citizens Arrest Statute that they could actually participate. That's like if you see somebody grab an old lady's purse and you want to be the hero and you run and you grab it and you tackle the individual. That's the kind of situation where you could do that. It doesn't mean if you think somebody is running through your neighborhood and you think that they may have done something, you suspect they may have done something, even if it was 53 days ago, that does not give anyone under Georgia's statute the right to get an armed posse together and go and confront and stop somebody, let alone be armed and get out and stop somebody saying, we want to talk to you. This looked like a scene from a movie in the civil rights era in the early 60s. Are you kidding me? The police were on the way. They could have easily stopped Mr. Arbery and said, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm running like I do for exercise. These two father-son duo took it upon themselves, thinking they're going to be some sort of superhero. And the problem with somebody trying to make a citizen's arrest is, what if you're wrong? When you decide to take matters into your own hands, you face the exposure if you got it wrong. Now, District Attorney Barnhill also stated that these people were justified in having the firearms because it was an open carry state in the state of Georgia. Now, no one is going to defend the Second Amendment more than this guy. Frankly, I'll defend all of the constitutional amendments to the bitter end. And yes, these people had a right to have their guns on them. But as I have explained to many people, not only on this show before, but previously counseled clients all the time, you will find no one that enjoys or appreciates the Second Amendment more than I do. But what I always tell the clients is that they complicate everything. And before you use that firearm, you need to be able to explain to a jury that you exercised complete restraint and it was a last resort. Regardless of some very poorly written laws and jury instructions, you do not have the right to go up and start trying to be aggressive and manhandle somebody and hold them at gunpoint unless you've actually witnessed a crime. It's there for your own self-protection. But if you are the initial aggressor, you have to retreat normally before you can use deadly force. There doesn't look like there was any retreat whatsoever here by Travis McMichael. And frankly, if somebody points a loaded gun at you, I think, and you've done nothing wrong, you have a right to push it away or try to get the hell out of there. So what we do know is that the McMichaels had a firearm stolen from their truck 53 days prior to this incident with Mr. Arbery, where he wound up dead. They did not see anyone committing a crime. The 911 call shows that people were calling regarding a black man running through the neighborhood. A black man running through a neighborhood, minding his own business, is not reasonable suspicion or probable cause, and it certainly does not justify a citizen's arrest under the Georgia arrest by private person statute. These people could have called the police. If they thought that this was the person that they were looking for, they could have driven next to him and waited for the police to arrive. They're the ones that stopped the vehicle, blocked Mr. Arbery's path, told him they wanted to speak with him, got out with a loaded shotgun, and engaged in a confrontation with Mr. Arbery. The real crime here, on top of the murder of Ahmed Arbery, is District Attorney George Barnhill. Emails need to be subpoenaed by the investigators, and his analysis needs to be looked at immensely. And since he's an elected district attorney, his citizens may want to consider voting him out of office when the next election comes by, and maybe let him know it's not 1961 in the South anymore. We're going to follow this case. And yesterday I said, why has nobody been arrested? And the district attorney's tried to make some lame excuse. Well, we can't convene a grand jury. Well, guess what? The Georgia Bureau of Investigation and the Attorney General's office looked at this, and they made the arrest immediately. District Attorney Barnhill should be embarrassed and ashamed of himself and should probably resign for the investigation that he conducted. And another interesting question that would have to be asked was, where was this video? Did Mr. Barnhill have access to it? Did he look at it? Did he think that this was exculpatory evidence as it related to the McMichaels? If he thought that was exculpatory evidence, we may want to go back and look at all the cases that he's been prosecuting over the years. And for the people out there that basically wanted to say, oh, Gregory McMichael is a police officer, cut him a break, Travis McMichael, he was just out there doing his citizen's duty. No. These guys overreacted, they're being overzealous, and now they should have to pay the consequences for getting it wrong. Next on the docket, a Megan Boswell case update. Now, a lot of people have thought, hey, when are we going to get around to charging Megan Boswell as it relates to the death of her daughter? Well, the Sheriff's Department there in Tennessee has not concluded their investigation, and yet it goes on and on. Last week, they said it was the COVID pandemic that was causing delay, and here we are. So Megan Boswell's arraignment was today. As you may recall, she was charged with multiple counts of lying to the police officers. Megan Boswell's arraignment has been delayed now until June. The district attorney handling the case stated via a virtual hearing where everybody appears via WebEx or some sort of Zoom-type conferencing system. The district attorney stated that the case has not yet been presented to the grand jury, and they are attempting to review all the records and interviews with Megan Boswell. Apparently, there are some 25 hours worth of video to watch, and they need to do that prior to taking the case to the grand jury. Therefore, the court granted the continuance, and the matter is now set for an arraignment on June 19th at 9 a.m., Megan Boswell's attorney did request that a hearing for a bond reduction be set, and that is now set for May 28th at 9 a.m. Anytime the Sullivan County sheriff's deputy would like to wrap up their investigation and let us know the cause and manner of death as it relates to Evelyn Boswell, and perhaps maybe get around to charging somebody, that would probably be appreciated as well. Next on the docket, don't couples just break up anymore? You really have to wonder what the hell is going on in the world. A North Carolina man by the name of Brandon Shaw, he's 35, and the police were dispatched to his Mount Airy, North Carolina residence on Wednesday to investigate a missing person complaint filed by Mr. Shaw. The alleged missing person was his girlfriend, Sierra Kathleen Henderson Ashburn. She's 28. Mr. Shaw said that she had disappeared that same morning. According to Mr. Shaw, Ms. Ashburn and Mr. Shaw had been residing together, and he had no idea as to what had happened to her. By the time the detectives arrived on the scene, they spoke with Mr. Shaw, who provided details about Ms. Ashburn, and that ultimately led detective to Ms. Ashburn's body, which had been buried on the property. Although Mr. Shaw has been arrested, their investigation will continue. I just do not get it. In today's world, when, for lack of a better term, divorce is generally acceptable. When I grew up, nobody got divorced. Everyone's parents were miserable. Everyone's friends' parents were miserable. But they stayed married because that's what they did. Today, people get divorced. Maybe too soon. Maybe it's a little too easy to get divorced. But the reality of it is, people get divorced. Divorce doesn't carry the stigma as it once used to. And I assure you, it doesn't carry the stigma of a classification as a murderer. If you want a divorce, you want to get a new life, you get divorced, but you don't go around killing your significant other. Please, people, is it that hard to grasp that simple concept? Don't kill people. Next on the docket, doesn't anyone date anymore? Now, I get it. Lots of people meet people online these days. I mean, what are you supposed to do? I guess you can't go to a bars anymore. You can't meet people the old-fashioned way. Your friends meet. Who knows? But a Wyoming girl, 16, was killed by a South Dakota teen that they met online, and they were going to run away together. On Thursday, Michael Campbell, 17, pled guilty to killing 16-year-old Shayna Rithaler. Rithaler was reported missing from Moorcroft, Wyoming. Rithaler was reported missing from a Moorcroft, Wyoming coffee shop last October. Weeks earlier, apparently she had met Campbell on the dating website Badoo, B-A-D-O-O. The pair eventually planned for Campbell to drive to Wyoming to pick Rithaler up so she could run away and live with him in his house. Apparently, the romance was short-lived, and actually on October 3rd, Campbell picked Rithaler up from Wyoming in his Jeep and drove her back to his Sturgis, South Dakota home. During their time together, an argument ensued that ended with Campbell shooting Rithaler once in the head. Campbell's Jeep was found, and they made contact with him on October 6th when he was arrested. They found Rithaler's body in Campbell's basement. Campbell was initially charged with second-degree murder, which was dismissed as part of a plea bargain, and the district attorney would recommend a 55-year sentence in prison. Another little righteousism as it relates to the rules of dating. Don't go home with people you don't know. Don't cross state lines with people you don't know. You may not want to get in arguments in homes, in people across state lines that you don't know, because they could shoot you and you'll be dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand it. Sometimes common sense is an uncommon virtue, but use your common sense, please. You don't meet people online and fall in love with them over the phone, over video, over chat. You have to get to know somebody. And when you're 16 and 17 years old, I get it. It's the greatest love affair, romance in the world. But apparently, as it did for Miss Rithaler here, it didn't quite end so well. Use some common sense, please. And finally on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, our dumb criminal contestant of the day Didn't really do anything dumb, but frankly, we just like his shirt and we like his boldness. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day is Ronald Joseph Gallagher. Now, this is the kind of client when he comes to you, you just like him because he gets it. He's been around the block and he's bold, all right? Completely harmless, but bold. So Ronald Joseph Gallagher, he is from Montana. He's 50 years old. And the other afternoon, he was arrested on several charges, including marijuana possession, resisting an officer, and disorderly conduct. He was released the following day after posting bond for his three misdemeanor counts. Apparently, Mr. Gallagher is somewhat of a frequent flyer in the local lockup there. But what brings him to our attention here today is his shirt. His booking photo says drug free. But what the Missoula County Sheriff's Office tried to cut out of the booking photo, which was just underneath, and it says drug free, just ran out yesterday. So Mr. Gallagher, don't really know what you did other than the marijuana, the resisting and disorderly conduct, but we like your attitude. I mean, look at that mugshot, a thumbs up, a smile, and a t-shirt. You gotta like his spunk. So he's our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, I'll be honest with you. The dumb criminal contestant winner of the week has some stiff competition this week. As you may recall, yesterday's winner and contestant for today, Katrina Morgan, the 50-year-old woman who was drinking, who basically said that her crotch was ablaze, called the police department to have the fire department bring a hose over because she needed it. Then we had Stephanie Wright, the Florida woman who exposed her chest to her neighbors across the street after drawing attention to them, who was arrested for indecent exposure, claiming that she was in her own house and how dare they look into her house and see her exposing herself. But then we have Dijon, that's right, Dijon like the mustard, Landrum, who was arrested not once, not twice, but three times in the same day and all released due to the catch and release, summons and release program in LA County. And then ultimately, we have Derry West, who is the crack pipe throwing traffic stop gentleman who once stopped for the heinous crime of a taillight being out, throws the crack pipe out the window that was for a friend, hitting the officer that he did not see on the passenger side of the vehicle. Those are our contestants. You get to decide who is the dumb criminal contestant of the week. And the winner, like always, and we're still waiting for one to claim their prize, but they will receive a Crime Talk mug free of charge. I will ship it to them. All they have to do is contact me at scott@scottreich.com. And we will send it to them no charge. Now remember, you can get some Crime Talk merchandise without having to become a contestant and winner on our Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day. Hit the link below. They got t-shirts. They got mugs. There are sweatshirts. Cool gear. Have some myself. We're going to make an order ourselves. Maybe we'll be giving some away as prizes. We'll see how that goes. Then additionally, if you'd like to be kind of have more interaction with us, you can join Patreon, even the smallest level. We're going to have some interaction, some video conferencings coming up where we can talk cases and discuss cases in greater detail with those who want to do it basically one-on-one. Feel free to do that. No one's saying you have to do it, but that's what we're going to do. As always, let me know what you think about the cases that we have discussed here today. The Ahmed Arbery case. Are you satisfied that an arrest had been made? Do you think that the McMichaels were justified in what they did? And let me know if you basically just think the whole world is losing their mind. Let me know. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. Have a great day.